Hello, everybody. I'm Emily Goodell here with my co-host,
Haley O'Brien.
We want to take a look at the roles some refugees play in Spokane. Lately, there's been a national discussion about refugees due to the high number of people around the world fleeing from violence. More than 33,000 people are forced to leave their homes because of conflict or persecution every day, according to the UN Refugee Agency.
Today, we're going to dive deep into the refugee connection in Spokane. We'll hear from Jackson Steimel from World Relief, Mahdi Majid, owner of Merriam International Food, and Katie Azar, owner of Azar's. We're going to look at how refugees come to Spokane and how they get into the food business.
In many of the interviews and throughout this piece, we talk about refugees, but the proper term is former refugees. You see, as we learned in writing this story, once a refugee has made it to America, they have technically found refuge. They will have traveled from their home country to a second country until finally making their way here. Once they have found refuge, they are no longer refugees.
In order to get a firm grasp on who refugees are and how they get here, Emily and I went down to World Relief Spokane to talk to someone who actually works with refugees.
Starting down here, this is Pingala. Pingala works with our LAP program.
That was Jackson Steimel. He works for World Relief Spokane as an employment services specialist and job developer, although that's not all that he does.
We all help each other out here. It's kind of like a big family, and that's how we want it to feel for the people we serve. We want them to have somewhere that feels like home.
One of the programs Steimel helps refugees with is BFET, the Basic Food Employment Training, which is open to all Americans, not just refugees. He helps refugees find jobs in food service, auto mechanics, and other fields. Steimel said the jobs they get are dependent on their past work experience and English level.
We have a client, for example, who was the vice president of a machinery company in Afghanistan. He can't really go straight into that job, or somebody who was an accountant back home. The certifications don't transfer, the degrees don't really transfer, and language, you know, you may know all this stuff, you may know how to do all this stuff, but if you can't do it in English, unfortunately, you can't do it in America.
Last year, World Relief resettled 600 refugees in the Spokane area. Steimel recalled a conversation he had with a resident who was surprised about that.
You know, he asked me what I did, and I said I work with World Relief, refugee resettlement. There are those sort of people in Spokane? Yeah, hundreds, thousands. People are really unaware, you know, that refugees are all around them.
Steimel said that people are also unaware of exactly how hard it is for refugees to get to the United States.
Typically, you flee the conflict situation, the dangerous situation. You end up in a camp, maybe, sometimes in just a neighboring country.
It's not a simple or quick process for a refugee to come to the U.S. There is a long waiting list of refugees, according to the World Relief Spokane website. Only a small number of refugees get to be considered for resettlement, prioritized by need. There are a lot of hoops they have to jump through in order to be approved to come to the U.S. It can take more than 2 years of vetting, and that doesn't even include the waiting list.
You don't just automatically become a refugee. There are a series of interviews and vetting processes to even have refugee status in the first place. Because we want to confirm that, you know, The special status is only conferred to people who really are in danger, who really are being persecuted. So once that is granted, you are able to apply for third country resettlement, which is another many, many years of waiting, of interviews, of vetting, of background checking, fingerprinting. And if you're resettled to the U.S., that is the most rigorous process. Despite what the president says, it is the most rigorous vetting process of any country for refugee resettlement, and it's the most rigorous vetting process for anyone wanting to enter the United States.
We asked Jackson what effects he had seen on the refugee community as a result of President Trump's recent executive orders, specifically the orders that decrease refugee resettlement and prohibit immigration from six Muslim-majority countries.
They feel insecure. They feel threatened. They feel like they're not welcome anymore. Spokane is not particularly the easiest place in the world, particularly if you are a person of color, or if you are hijabi, if you wear a hijab, because Spokane, frankly, is a pretty white community, pretty non-diverse community. So there are people who have heard threats and have heard people yelling, you know, get out of here, get out of my country, go home, all that stuff. But in terms of direct effects of the executive order, that's really affected resettlement more.
National refugee resettlement numbers this year will decrease due to the executive orders, from 110,000 to 50,000, according to Pew Research Center. Consequently, World Relief Spokane will have to decrease their refugee resettlement from 700 refugees to 300. On a positive note, Steimel said World Relief has been receiving support from employers in the area who want to help out by hiring refugees to work for them. So Haley, you talked to a former refugee from Iraq who owns his own food store in Spokane.
I went down to Merriam International Foods to speak with the owner, Mahdi Majid. I talked with him about what it takes for a former refugee to open his own business selling specialty items. Majid came to Spokane from Baghdad, Iraq in 2013. He began his food store through Spokane Neighborhood Action Partners, or SNAP for short. SNAP was able to educate him about all the nuances and regulations in the U.S. food industry. The health codes and licensing laws are much different than in Iraq, but all the hard work paid off, and he was able to finally open up his food store and share his culture.
A lot of people from U.S. come here, and then they like our staff. They are interested to know about other culture. They ask about other food, different kind of spices. Even they ask sometimes about how to cook this or how to do this. They try to learn something different.
Running a small food store isn't new for Majid. As a kid in Iraq, he would help out with his family's grocery. He has one cousin in the States. In fact, that's why he came to Spokane 4 years ago after gaining refuge in Austin, Texas in 2010. Unfortunately, all of his immediate family is still in Baghdad.
There's many people came here, they are escaped from situation. Mostly people, they want to live in peace.
When we asked Majid what advice he would give to refugees who want to start their own business, he said this.
I just tell them, don't be afraid. Do it. Just do it. Don't be afraid. See your mind and then see what you like to do and then go for it.
I was also able to visit another place known for its mouth-watering food, which is also owned by a refugee, Azar's. It's there I met with Katie to learn about her history. Katie's family opened Azar's 32 years ago after moving to Spokane Valley from Jordan. Her father was a minister for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and so they moved around a lot as her father opened churches all over the Middle East.
So why did she and her family come to America, and how did they get here?
It eventually became too unsafe for their family to continue living over there.
When I was born in Iraq, and so while we were there, I think we were there 5 years, we went through three revolutions. And then we came back to Jordan after that and went through three wars. One of them was a civil war. Civil war, it means just it's in your backyard. You're in a shelter, there's bombing all over the place, and you don't know if it's going to bomb your house or not.
Katie and her family were Christians in a majority Muslim country. They experienced the hardships and marginalizations that come with being a religious minority.
There were times that the government has had to put guards around our home to keep us safe from being assassinated because the Christian ministers or all religious leaders are also considered political leaders. Because in the Middle East, they run the country according to the religious rules. So we're enemies to them. And so my dad was just fed up and said, you know, I want to live in peace. I want to live with the American people.
After filing for refugee status and waiting 3 years for their chance to live life in peace, they made it to the U.S. in 1973. Katie was 11 years old. The road to owning Azar's wasn't an easy one. Her father and mother worked in other jobs for 7 years before deciding to try and open their own restaurant. 1 year later, they passed the business on to Katie and her sister.
Okay, so if you want to come here, then take advantage of the opportunity and live like an American. And don't sit there and go, well, I don't like that. You got to change it to accommodate me. If you want to live your old style of life and your old culture, then stay in your country. But when you come here, there's so much going on here. You've got to run with it. And literally, you run in America. It's not an easy life. And that's another perception from refugees of other countries. It's like it's easy. Everything's handed to you. It's not. America's hard work.
And if America is hard work, so is owning a restaurant. especially when the community hasn't had the kind of food they were cooking before.
We had to get people used to what we make. You know, we gave out a lot of samples, we explained a lot, we had to teach them what the food was, and then they got to like it, and, you know, the fairs really helped us out. That's what really grew our business, doing the Big Out, and then a state fair after that.
Azar's has now become a staple in the Spokane food community.
We've had a lot of younger customers that have gotten married, had kids, and their kids are my kids' age, and they're getting married, and they're bringing in their kids. And so we have generations of people that have been giving us business, and then their children and their children. And so it's been fun.
Azar enjoys interacting with her American customers and being an American herself.
I appreciate America more than most people just because I've been on the other side in a third world country and went through war and went through revolutions. So to live in peace is really something big for us. And we have that, believe it or not, with all the trouble we have in America and what seems like a lot of division and trouble and everything, we still have peace.